All right, I guess I'm on. Hey guys, happy Friday. I decided to make this a video recording today instead of being on live. Get myself situated here. How are you doing? I like the recordings a lot better. I can just kind of relax and not have to do production stuff. But I hope you guys have had a great week, and hope you're getting ready for your weekend and trying to stay the course where God has you, trying to work your way into your new. And you know we're in C2. Obviously, if you're not familiar with this ministry, we walk you through C1, 2, 3, and 4. That's chamber 1, 2, 3, and 4 of God's heart. And help people just to understand what all that means and what the pressure is around you that you may be walking through. I'm Dr. Melissa Hood. I head up this ministry, Ezekiel's Wheel. And so I try to help you guys navigate through this thing each year. So we're about a month, almost 2 months into this thing. How about that? Look at that. And we're just kind of navigating our way through the fire. Now, what you should be experiencing and what I've been experiencing is a lot of pressure from witchcraft. A lot of feeling like I'm trudging through the mud, and extreme weightiness on us now, because what I'm experiencing and what I'm learning about the witchcraft we're now navigating through is that the higher we go in the spirit of the Lord, higher, especially when you hit the firmament part. Now, that's your goal, is to actually navigate through the firmament into your the glory of God for your life, to where you can actually become part of the bride. But what you'll start experiencing then is you'll become a threat to the enemy. And so, hence, that's why we're fighting the occult, obviously. And we're fighting and having to deal with now the dysfunctional part of the church that's chosen not to grow up. And so C2 is a big part of that, because as you move through Chamber 1, I'll explain it briefly, quickly for those who are new to the show. Chamber 1, when you read about the book of Esther, Esther was known, pardon my voice, is known, she was very, very known for getting prepared for a year before she actually met the king. So actually, that's indicative of God bringing us into deeper intimacy. That's why he calls it chamber 1, chamber 2, chamber 3, chamber 4 of his heart. You have 4 chambers to your heart. He has 4 chambers to him. They're the levels of intimacy that you move through yearly to move into higher intimacy with the king. And so this is what all that's about. And so when you get into contraction point 2, then you're starting to be forced to deal with you. It's the part of deliverance that we all go through yearly, and we're forced to deal with Holy Ghost fire versus strange fire. What is that? What is that? Pardon me. And I'm sorry, they hit me like this, and they've been hitting like this now for about 3 years. But Holy Ghost fire versus strange fire. If you know anything about C2, C2 is the playground of the devil. That we battle through, because the fire, it's the fiery part of God's heart. If you know anything about the enemy, they use a lot of fire in their circumstances, spiritually, to battle us with. They also use elemental magic, water, fire, earth, and air. That's indicative of the other 4 chambers that they walk through with regard to the zodiac, which is the flesh, that's the devil's heart, versus the Maseroth, which is what we're walking through to become more like Christ and come into deeper levels of God's love. So what you're having to focus on right now is coming into this place where you're having to learn to think about what you're thinking about. Because the objective of C2, this portion of God's heart, is to help you think like Christ, attaining the mind of Christ like that which is in Christ Jesus. Are you taking your thoughts captive? Are you focused on your flesh and what your flesh wants to do versus what the king has told you? Another big thing this year I'm noticing is that when the Lord gives us a directive for a thing, the higher we come within him, there's a higher level of responsibility, a higher level of expectation there where he expects us to obey him. For some of you, it's also an opportunity for you to recapture times in the past where the enemy might have duped you. That just came out of my spirit. So this is really actually good for some of you. But that also requires you to go and repent and ask God what he would require of you. Now, you can't go to the next thing unless you've done the last thing the prophet told you. Now, God is the chief prophet. So this brings me to the word that we're now going to enter into right now. Before we get started, though, I want to thank Margaret Rowe and Smack Talk Radio for all that they do in helping us to step into and bring you the word of God every week. If you didn't catch the word on Tuesday, I gave a prophetic judgment from the Lord live, actually, which is actually why God told me I could do this one on recording today. But you need to go back and listen to that, because it's where we're at right now. We knew judgment was coming into the room. Everybody knew this. Everybody knew this, and nobody's ever seen this in the body of Christ. Not like we're starting to see it now, but judgment is definitely here if you've been listening to the Truth Prophets. And so, again, I want to thank the people who help us bring this word to you. Again, that's Margaret Rowe and Smack Talk Radio. Thank you both for your sponsorship. If you haven't checked out Margaret's site before we get going, she has 7 new collections out now, and her latest one being Heaven's Presence. And so you want to go over to margaretrowe.com. If you're needing to buy something for your wife, go check that out. Go treat your wife to something nice. She deserves it. She's the mother of your children. So go and treat her to something and earn some points with her today. But Margaret's designs are taking off right now, and they're beginning to be purchased by big names. Some like Cher, Carol Burnett, Pink, just to name a few. And actually, she just attended an event this last week hosted by Bob Mackie with these women in it. And so it was a costuming design event. And if you know anything about Bob Mackie, he was an apprentice underneath Edith Head. And so anyway, she's up and coming. Margaret's up and coming. And I believe this is God taking back Hollywood back to the era that it once was truly, where it was glamorous, full of life, where it was once really, really glamorous and full of life. And so without all the perversity and all the evil in it. And that's why I liked Edith Head so much. And I love Bob Mackie's designs. And it's also part of why I think God is having people like Margaret and I team up when we wrote our book, Just a Conversation Away. Because I've known for over 4 years, God was going to use my vessel to help bring back the Josephs back to the Lord again. And they're out in the world right now. The Josephs are out in the world. I was one. I am one. Margaret's one. And we both have the same calling. She dresses you from the outside as a stylist, and I dress you from the inside as a prophet and priest and queen for the Lord. I say that, but that's what he's told me through the prophets on my life. But but that's what we're used for. We're being used to bring you back to love again. And sadly enough, you know, a lot of the true body of Christ is outside the church walls now. So God's going after them. And so, yeah, but just a conversation away, we wrote that to help hurting people, give them an ability to see how they can get their lives back with dignity and also bounce back and come back fast, get their lives back fast. And so God has me running into different stars and things like that even now, ministering to them. And it's just interesting to see how the King does things. I mean, it's really very interesting. So anyway. We'll be doing our book tour pretty soon, hopefully starting in New York. We're getting things wrapped up today, and we're trying to get that on the way. So anyway, it pays to serve the King. That's all I can say about that thing. Before we get started, though, I'm going to play her intro for her book. It's called Through the Lens. Go check it out, and I'll be right back with you, and then we'll continue on with it.
I'm so excited to receive the first copy of my book, Margaret Rowe, Through the Lens, A Photographic View by Halston. We created this book to commemorate the 20th anniversary since I created my jewelry line based on my fascination of the intricacy of jewelry and everything vintage. The book is shot by the legendary Halston, who is a filmmaker and widely known for his high-key photography. The book talks about my rise as a self-taught designer to styling today's most notable celebrities for the red carpets of the Oscars, Grammys, Emmys, Golden Globes. I hope this book serves as an inspiration.
And that's her new book, Through the Lens. You want to go check it out. She can, we're actually submitting it right now. We have it and she has it, not we. We're best friends. So we talk about we do a lot of stuff together. Actually, we're collaborating on a lot of things right now. So that's a bad habit. Sorry, Margaret. But yeah. That's her new book, Through the Lens. The photographer was actually a famous model out of New York. His name was Halston, or is Halston. He's still around. And so he shot all the photographs in that. And he did the video for her just now for that new book. And so go check it out, Amazon.com. And we're also doing the reprint of it as well. So if you want to wait, great. And if not, you can get it now. But anyway, what's going on with you? What's going on with you right now? I think there's a lot of things going on, actually, as we feel like we're sludging through the mud because we've entered into this heightened state of battle with witchcraft. And, you know, it's so funny. This is a real different type of battle that comes with this because we're fighting in the firmament, which is getting you ready to be burst through into the second glory. If this is all new terminology to you, stick around. We'll educate you. Don't worry about it, to help you get into your new as well. But you're going to have to learn this stuff. This is part of becoming the bride. It's part of coming into being seated beside Christ in heavenly places. Where is God seated? Think about that. Where is God seated? He's seated in the cosmos. And he states it in his word that earth is his footstool. So if earth is God's footstool, then that tells me he's seated up in high and heavenly places. And so this is where we find ourselves at, because as front runners, if you're watching this, you're probably drawn as a front runner, which means God is getting ready to burst you through, which is why the enemy is targeted you. Okay. If you feel like you're getting hammered from all directions right now, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. If you've lost sleep the last couple of weeks because he's hammering your sleep, that's a good thing, because the enemy doesn't bother with people that aren't a threat to him. So one thing I'm going to tell you is, if you want to get through this difficult place, you're going to have to pace yourself here in order to navigate. Okay. And that means, you know, if you need to take a nap and rest here and there, do what you got to do, but get through. Because the enemy, if you're a front runner, the enemy's definitely after you. And the reason why he's after the front runners is because of the spiritual law that operates on you, that God is no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he does for all. If God burst one front runner through, which he's already starting to do, you're used by God to burst the whole tribe and the whole body of Christ through. So they all have to come up higher on the mountain of God, which is great for some people, but very, very bad for others. How is that bad for the people? Because if you haven't gotten cleaned up as a member of the body of Christ, that can mean judgment for you. So you can't come before a holy God any old way you want and think things are going to go well for you if you haven't been doing what he's been telling you to do. So that's something you definitely need to pay attention to. But your front runners are being used as trailblazers, with Holy Ghost fire around you. And so what you're probably feeling is the enemy trying to circumvent what God is doing, but he's not being successful. So don't get bent out of shape. Don't get worried about that. Because what he's really trying to do is really burn you out. He's actually, as well, the enemy in the occult is using unhealed Christians to pray against the bride right now, trying to keep you from getting inside, trying to wear you out, burn you out. And God's like, you want to bet? Because I'm going to go ahead and move you through this test. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to worry. And I know a lot of you leaders are thinking, you know, when is this going to end? When? Because I've been asking the same thing the last couple of weeks. I'm like, you know, God, if I were to take this into my hands, he's like, yeah, but miss, you're not. You're not. Put the baseball bat down. Because some of these people are enough to make you want to grab your baseball bat. It's like, you better get yourself out of my perimeters. And God's like, no, let me fight your battles for you. And so, you know, and let me just state this here for the record too, for any of the leaders, because when people People try to hit me with this Christianese crap. Oh, no, you need to be more godly. Love wouldn't act like that. Oh, yes, he would. Oh, yes, he would have. If Jesus had, they made baseball bats back in Israel's day. You can bet your butt Jesus would have walked into that church with that baseball bat. He would have been cracking some knees. He would have been cracking some knees. So you can put down your false plastic mask impersonation of who you think he is. Because if Jesus were to stand behind some of your pulpits today, he'd blow you away with the truth. Because a lot of people aren't even ready. They're not ready to hear the level of truth he's trying to bring us into. Aren't we heading back into the Ancient of Days? Back into all truth? So what makes us think that we're going to get away from hearing it the deeper we walk into him? And so, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was disobeying my dad wasn't always very nice to me. He loved me, but he didn't always like me because of my disobedience when I was operating in rebellion in my past. So we have to ask ourselves this about the Lord. And everybody's like, oh, but God is love. Yeah, he's love. But love will sometimes get tough on you when you buck him. And he doesn't act nicely. See, Jesus hated the Pharisees. Go read your word. It says it in there. He hated them. You're thinking, well, he's pure love. But he hated them because they misrepresented him. And so he wasn't nice to them. Hence, had he had a baseball bat, he would have cracked them upside the head back then. I bet he would have cracked them in the knees. He would have done something. But all he had at his disposal was a cat of nine tails. So he was like whipping them up one side and down the other. You know what a cat of nine tails is? A cat of nine tails are strips of leather with hooks in them. A series of hooks within every strip. So when you crack it, you pull chunks of people's flesh out of it. Now, I don't know what makes you think that's so loving. I don't see that as very loving. I see that as somebody kicking blank and taking names. Sounds like that to me. Sounds like a military terminology. So this is the place we're stepping into. Hence, we're seeing God deal with the church that's chosen to stay dysfunctional, and he's not being very nice with them. He's becoming terse, harsh. He's becoming blunt in his truth with them. Because sometimes the mercy prophets aren't as, they're not, as, what do you say, when somebody's not as, it doesn't work as well. It doesn't work as well when you try to be nice and you talk on the surface. You dance around issues. He's not dancing around issues anymore. Jesus isn't dancing around issues. So if you haven't been, I'm sorry. I hate that. They do that to mess up my things, my videos. But if you haven't been obedient in the lower parts of the test, then it's fruitless for you to try to come forward unless you've done the last thing God told you to do in order to move into the next part for you. Okay? So we have to take each step, because each step we take is contingent upon the last thing we've done, the last act of directives in order to continue on. And if you try to circumvent the process, you're only going to get yourself judged by the king for disobeying him, for moving into places you weren't invited to. And so this is why God explains C1, C2, C3, and C4 to us, because at the end of C2, at the beginning of C3, we go through the ninth of all, the eye of the needle of God, the inspection point, where he extends an invitation to some of you saying, do you want to get to know me? Do you want to come deeper into me? Because if you aren't extended the invitation, you get to go around the mountain again. You haven't been obedient in the prior 6 months of getting free from you. That is the heart of God. That's how you move through C2. That's the purpose of that. So, most of you are probably feeling very much like you can't go on without realizing that the king has already given you a new song. What does that mean? Worship will take you a long way. And it's through praise and high praise that you'll move forth into the deeper levels of the Ancient of Days. See, the deeper you come into knowing the King, the deeper you start learning about suffering and about you understand how it can change a heart condition, about everything. You don't want to do the things you used to do. You don't want to, you just see things differently. You see things differently about people. You start developing compassion and you stop being a clanging cymbal. I know a lot of people just tell me when I was younger, Missy, you act like a clanging cymbal. Where's the love in that? But then I found that people were getting out of balance. The mercy people were getting out of balance. These were mercy people usually telling me this. And they forget that God's a God of truth and mercy, which drives me nuts sometimes, because it's like, God, so you're trying to make me be like them. And it's like, I won't ever be you. You won't ever be me. Just knock off the crap. I don't want to do that with you. Just stop trying to force me into your mold. Let me be me. Let the truth prophets be who God called us to be. We're all used to bring balance in the body of Christ. It's about time we get that right. Drives me bananas. And so that's why the body's out of balance, because we have a whole lot of mercy prophets who have been allowed to take control of an entire body and preach the gospel only one way without realizing you need both truth and mercy to preach the fullness of Yahweh. So you can't take away one from the other, because then what we do is we have people who just say, oh, no, 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 that makes people feel uncomfortable. We don't want to preach that and offend people. Well, what you're really saying is, I don't want you coming in here with your, I like what you preach. I like your truth. And I agree with you, but I don't come in here and preach that to my sheep, because you might affect my bottom line. Well, you know what? Why don't you, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Because you know, the God that I serve is a balanced God. And so I am tired of this crap. This is why dysfunctionality has permeated the church. It's why Jezebel got in. It's why so many people are caught up in that thing now, because nobody confronted them in their sin. Nobody confronted their blindness of soul, because men were too concerned with their wallet than they were about those sheep's heart condition. Which brings us to humility and obedience, which are wonderful things when it comes to climbing God's mountain and listening to the king, because listening to the king takes you places. Takes you places. So this brings us to 1 Samuel 20, verses 1, verses through 21:15. And I'm talking about, through the Lord, he gave me, speaking about true faith. And true faith is living without scheming. And Lord says, don't get weary in trusting me, even during your trials. Don't try to scheme your way through. Don't try to force it to happen for you. Let me do it, says the Lord, just like I told you. And so I read that today and I thought, golly, this is so right now. It's a right now word. Because if you try to do it yourself, and I know a lot of the enemy is trying to come in right now around a lot of leaders and hitting us with temptations about Ishmaels. He's trying to get us to create Ishmaels. Do you realize that Ishmaels have, they have lifelong impacts on your life? And if you open that door to them, you'll get out of the will of the king, and you'll have to walk out that thing in suffering, true suffering. So you want to wait on the Lord. Don't try to make things happen yourself. Because true faith lives without trying to force its own way. And I know that's hard when you've been waiting for something for a long time to happen for you. And if there's not one thing I've learned, is that true faith is really trusting the king in all of its dealings. And which means everything I do, say, and pray is going to be built on kingdom. And not from me. Not from me. Because the things I've tried to make happen in my past caused me much pain. I've already been there. I've already done that. And I've already paid a price for that. A tremendous price. I've told you about, I think it was on maybe the thread before last, about dating that guy for 5 years that I dated. went on my first date, the Lord told me, you don't have any business going out with him. He's not for you. And I persisted in my own way. And boy, did I regret that decision making. 5 years of hell because of Jezebel. But anyway, the Lord says that for those people who continue to do things their own way, they're belittling the king to where his existence is nothing but one of mockery for having refused his request of them and refusing to live like him. And so when we are determined, I hope I'm saying that correctly, but my interpretation of that is, let me rephrase that, is that when we're determined to get what we think we want, your flesh always wants what it wants. Let's just be honest. A person, if you're caught up in your emotions, let me just state this for the record, your feelings have nothing to do with your faith. And if you're going to come back into the Ancient of Days, then his ways aren't your ways, which means you're going to have to learn to do things his way. Okay, so what does that mean? Because I know we live in a fallen world, and we live with people that are fallen. We live with people, every one of us have a sin nature. We have flaws, unhealed areas that we need to work on. And everybody seems to think, well, I'm okay, you're okay, da, 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 da. But they're not okay. They're not okay. And then what I'm running into as a Christian, because I try to walk my walk as best I can, probably like you, but I'm running into other people that are being used by the enemy to try to hinder my way through. And you've got to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove. You really do. You can't let your flesh rule you. You can't, because you don't know how strong your flesh is until the Lord challenges it. Matter of fact, we don't even know how strong demons are until God allows demons to operate through people against us. And boy, is that eye-opening. That is eye-opening to me. But this is the current state. This is the current state of affairs within society. And in the midst of the trials of life, we can never take matters into our own hands. That's why I believe God is saying, if you want to be my wife, a wife submits to her husband. She only does what the king tells her to do. And so if you have a problem with submission, then chances are you're not going to do very, very well moving through C2. So this is what I've learned. And I seem to have understood this much better as a young person of faith rather than when I got older. Is this you? I think that's because as a young person, we're not as jaded. That's the truth. We haven't been wounded yet, like the Lord knew would happen through the enemy. But I sense that as adults, we get used to like that technology minded, our McDonald's drive-through mentalities. I want it yesterday, kind of a thing. And then we begin to try to apply that to kingdom. And we begin to expect quick results. So when it comes to God, and we don't see those results that we're expecting to see, when we expect to see them, our impatience begins to take a toll. Now, if you don't know the name of today's 15-minute rev, I forgot to announce that. It's called No Scheming with the Lord, Standing for Truth, and the Irritation from Waiting. Is this you? So yeah, because this is me. So impatience can take a toll on you. Fatigue can take a toll on you. Your age can take a toll on you. You can look at your age and say, I don't know how many years I have left, Lord. When are you going to do this thing for me? I'm going to make it happen my way. I'm going to do it anyway. Oh, really? You know what the Lord told me about that? This is for single people. This is a freebie. I was arguing with the Lord because I'm 59 this year. And, you know, I could raise up all kinds of cane about that because I've never been married yet. And I don't have any issues with that. There's a reason for that. And actually, I had started off, and I wanted to be married at a younger age. But then it changed as I got older and I started going through all the warfare. And I realized how fast I could move on my own without dealing with people on different spiritual pages and things like that, because I deal with it as a deliverance minister. And so I just gave my life over to the Lord. And I said, you know, God, I'll do this for you. You know, I'm not trying to be a martyr here, but I saw the benefits of it. So I opted to stay single, and I've maintained that self-discipline for over 25 years. And then lately I was having one of those feel sorry for yourself days. And I was like, why am I not me? And the Lord said, Missy, would you rather have hell for 50 years, pure hell, misery every day, waking up with a nagging roof on the housetop or a nagging spouse, husband for me. But what would you rather have? Or would you rather have 3 to 15 years of bliss? I thought, is that all you're going to give me? 3 to 15? He goes, I'm just giving you an analogy. And I thought, but you know, I knew what he meant. And I honestly have to tell you, at this age, who wants all that hell, really? When you've got Jezebel in your atmosphere, really? No, thank you. Because matter of fact, this is so primo, because I told the Lord, I will not marry anybody in the church. I said this years ago. I didn't even know why I was saying it, but it was so prophetic back then, because now I know why. It's because that stupid demon has entered into the church realm. And it's like, oh my God, it's everywhere. It's on all seven mountains. It's making people manipulative and controlling because of their bitterness of soul, and it's because of their fear-based behaviors. It's affecting everyone in their thinking. So everybody is becoming voyeurist. They think it's their right to be in everybody's business, and it matters what they have to say about a thing. And I just want to tell them, mind your own business. Site sourcing Joyce Meyer, 2013. Maybe before that. But she was one that stated that too. Mind your own business. Clean up the crap in your own backyard before you look at the crap in somebody else's. Because trust me, when judgment hits from the house of it hits the house of the Lord, where do you think he's going to start? He starts with each one of us individually. He makes us deal with us first. And then that extends outward into our world. But he cleans up the crap in our own backyard first so we can be good representatives of him and become healthy again. So no, I've just opted to maintain my singleness, and I will gladly maintain it to save peace from all that other crap, because if this is where that's leading, no, thank you. No, I value my peace too much, and I resent the crap out of it when people come in with their garbage trying to disrupt my peace. I do resent it. I don't like it. I don't like it as a deliverance minister. I keep it in the ministry, but it's not following me home. So that's something to consider. And if you know, we're going to use this as an example. This is a place where the enemy can come in and challenge us to get you into scheming. I haven't lost top. I'm staying on topic. But which can cause a lot of painful situations for having not listened to the king. And this is actually what happened to King David and Jonathan's friendship when they were trying to preserve David because they lied to Saul. And actually, before you judge David, you need to look at your own heart condition, because we've all done this before at some point. Either because we didn't want to deal with the situation, or we're trying to protect people, or we're trying to preserve ourselves, things like that. But scheming is failing to stand in God's ways or his truth. That's what that means. When you get so tired, or you get so fed up with the situation, you're just like, I just don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm just going to manipulate my way around it. I'm going to control it. Instead of letting God test you through it, I'm too tired, God. I just don't want to do this anymore. And you can fail the test. And the problem with that is the majority of people don't even know they're in a test until after they failed it. Do you know that? Something to consider. So you need to always consider that. We're always being tested by God. Always. Are you who you say you are? But David and Jonathan had lied to Saul, and it almost cost David his life. for he dodged the spear that Saul threw at him because Jonathan failed to take his stand for God's anointed. Is this you? Are people around you throwing spears at God's anointed because you don't know what to do? It can cost you, especially in this hour, because God is demanding that we step into all truth. If you're coming back to the Ancient of Days, that's who you're stepping into. But things like this always occur when we fail to stand up for God's ways, because failing to stand always costs you something. There's always going to be a demand placed on you by the devil when he sees that he can charge you in a thing. It's in the courts of heaven. So as far as God was concerned in dealing with Saul, by this point in the game, God considered Saul a has-been, because King Saul hadn't been walking with the Lord for a very, very long time. He had been walking in his own ways. And he labeled them God to make excuses for walking away from the Ancient of Days. So God pulled his spirit back, and the old king was being demoted, and God had already brought a new one in. But at this point, when Jonathan saw this, when he saw the what was going on in his own father's heart and the way that he treated David, he started becoming, because he knew that God had departed from his dad. Jonathan knew this. Nobody had to tell him this. And that's a hard thing, I think, for family members to see, because they're like, how did this happen to us? How did this happen to me? What I was doing what God told me to do. And Jonathan was. He was doing what God told him to do until he was challenged with speaking the truth, because he didn't want to look disobedient or disrespectful, I believe, for challenging the king or challenging his own father. He didn't want to be disrespectful, so he made excuses there too. When there are times in our walk that God will challenge your own truth in you. What do you know about the truth? What do you know about the Lord? What do you know about what he says about standing up for God's anointing and maintaining the ways of the Ancient of Days? What do you do about things like that? What do you do in those times? So at this point in the conversation, Jonathan was concerned about the future of his family. And David saw this. And David sensed it on his friend. And he said, I promise to spare your bloodline by allowing someone in your bloodline to live, which we know was Mephibosheth later in the conversation. So this all occurred because Saul had been chasing David for 10 years at this point, which I thought it was just 8. It was 10. And this is where we observe Saul actually trying to kill David out of his own jealousy while he was lying to his own followers to where they could help him maintain his future as king, because Saul knew he was on the way out. God was making that very prevalent to him and those around him. So what Saul did is that he lied to everybody around him, because everybody there knew what was in store. And so Saul couldn't allow God's word to stand. I can't believe that even happened, as though God would let it. But many people actually thought, had been lied to and convinced that David was a rebel against Saul, trying to take something that wasn't given to him, without realizing that nobody can take anything away from anybody in the kingdom of God. If it's not written in your books of heaven, you can't go in and add to or take away from anybody's books, for that matter. You can't place yourself in a place God hasn't placed you into. If God hasn't placed you there, you can try all you want to, but God won't honor your prayers. He doesn't listen to the prayers of sinners. You can use the word of God all you want, but if God didn't speak it, Lamentations 3, 37 to 38, it has to fall to the ground. You got to know these things if you're going to war against the enemy who's now abusing the courts of heaven, even through ungodly people. And this is why at Ezekiel's will, we don't just train anybody. We only let God put his finger on people and he brings people to us. That's what he said he was going to do. He's maintained his, that's what he's always done. But it's, I believe it's also because God is adamant about training up responsible people who are going to be responsible with his truth and his spirit. Because he's not going to lay his spirit on any vessel who refuses to get cleaned up in him if you're going to be irresponsible with the thing. So this is what it cost Saul in his own disobedience. And Saul thought he was pulling the wool over people's eyes until David began to let God fight the battle for him. David was no dumb bunny. David was very cunning. He was a phenomenal strategist. He'd been trained by the Lord himself. He had the heart of God. He was a man after God's own heart. So God showed him exactly what to do at each step of the juncture within each part. So David then let God silence his accusers, which to me was the best decision he'd ever made. And see, this is what I've observed too as a leader. And I've seen this in this day and time, by the way, when a leader thinks that they've pulled off a smooth deal or that they pulled the wool over people's eyes, you can be sure God will put a Doeg in that leader's pathway. If you know anything about Doeg, this was a setup for Saul's downfall, because Doeg was an antagonist of David who was responsible for the deaths of a large number of priests. David was a priest and a king, even if in the future. But Doeg was used when Saul's leadership around him refused to raise their hands and put their mouth on God's priest. So Saul turned to Doeg to carry out the executions and do his dirty work for him. Are you doing the dirty work for the Sauls around you? Have you been able to recognize that? Maybe big ministries and people are coming to you and they're unredeemed, and maybe you know something's wrong, but you're not sure what to do. You need to go to the king immediately and say, "Lord, what's up with this thing?" Because a lot of people who are big ministries right now are going to redeemed ministries. The big ministries are becoming unredeemed because they've refused to get cleaned up. They've been demoted. And now they're going to redeemed ministers and ministries, getting godly people to do their dirty work for them, i.e. praying against godly ministries, which can get you judged by the king. It can get you judged. That's what the word of judgment was released against on Tuesday. Because God is tired of these things. He's like, enough. Be who you say you are, or I will judge you. And it'll cost you everything. So if you know anything about the Lord, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. He hates lying lips. So when you lie about his anointed, and you haven't asked him what he has to say, you don't know how to listen to the true king's decree, because you haven't gotten free from you today. You haven't gotten deliverance. And you think, well, I hear God fine. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm fine. Da, da, da. Maybe at a lower level of the mountain, a lower place, but you're not hearing with the truth and what God's saying today. You don't see things from God's perspective anymore. The cloud has moved on without you. Cloud by day, pillar fire by night. Because God's not going to hold people back who are being tried and true, which is now why God is dealing with all voices who placed their mouth on him. When all these mouth gates knew God was speaking to them the whole time. These people today knew God was speaking to them the whole time. But they themselves have chosen to do their own thing. They got into scheming. They got into doing things their own way, trying to force God into their plan. And God said, no, you're coming into mine. I won't ever work with your flesh. That's a demon praying through you. And God doesn't submit to the devil. The devil submits to him. You've partnered with the wrong king. That's what that means. So every one of them got caught up in the same evil spirit attacking David. So God had to deal with them. Which brings us to John 9, 1 through 41. We're talking about irritating circumstances. Have you ever been in an irritating circumstance where you're just like, why am I going through this, God? Why are these people continuing to hit me and I haven't done a thing to them? Are they crazy? Have they lost their minds? And God says, no, how about I'm preparing you for your new place in time? They're just being used by the occult to release demons using their vessels against you. And I'm trying to teach you a new thing to do. Coolio, that's what I said. Coolio, God, that works. Just give me the grace that I need. Take away this baseball bat from me. Anyway, but this was happening when Jesus put clay on a man's eyes and encouraged him to obey and wash on the Sabbath. God was delivering him. Pardon me, please. He was delivering him. And sometimes the Lord irritates us before he illuminates us, which is important to understand, because sometimes, like this man who was struggling, he could hear, but he couldn't see the things that God was fixing to do through him and for him. See, God already saw his history, but now he wanted the man to see his future along with the king. So God had to take him through a miracle to show this man a few things. And so before walking out God's word, God will put us through some suffering, because suffering actually helps to produce the ability for us to see things from God's perspective. It's like an overview, if you will. You're pulled higher through suffering, usually because you start looking upward and you're like, God, what do you want to do in this thing? Why am I going through this? If you're hopefully wise enough to ask that of him. And so if you know anything about this situation, even after Jesus had set him free and healed him or broken him through, there were still Pharisees that questioned what Jesus had helped him to do. They weren't questioning the man, really. They were questioning the king. And so it's not like the religious right will ever stop persecuting you. They'll just challenge you to a different fight in their attempt to negate the truth of what God is bringing you to. See, people aren't stupid. This is my opinion on this. It's been my experience that when people see greatness, the greatness of God in you, jealousy, the spirit of jealousy and envy will make men do, or women do too, funny things. And we'll see people act so far out of character. And so will people around them. We're like, what in the heck is driving you? But it's power. Do you understand what power does to people? And that's why God, in this hour, he is looking for the good, the pure, and the lovely. And that's something else. That's a whole nother conversation too. Sorry, my nose is itching. In that, you know, all my life, I've never gotten that. I've never understood that thinking, because it's like, if you knew what it cost the pure-hearted to have and to walk where God has us walk, you would not ask for any part of the suffering, nothing. And so I just don't understand that mentality. But what it really boils down to is that self-centered, that selfishness on man, where they think, well, if it can't be me, then no one can do it. It has to be me, because I'm the one most deserving of it. How in the heck do you know how self-righteous and pompous, what a pompous ass are you, really, to think that you're more deserving or more godly when you don't even know my heart condition or what God's put me through? And I'm just like, oh my Lord, yuck, yuck, and yuck. So that's the condition of the souls right now in this hour. And so these people are like Saul's henchmen. That's what they basically are. And these religious people are only about power. And if it's not them welding it, then their excuse is, well, obviously that can't be true, you know, because why would God use you? Obviously, yes, he is. God bless him. If he can use me, he can use anyone. Oh, he called me off set one day. He interrupted my whole life to do this for me, through me. And so if he interrupted my life, you can bet I'm going to be loyal as his wife. So here I am. Here I am. Bam. Here I am. But yeah, he interrupted my whole life to do this thing. And I'm just like, okay, I wasn't bothering anybody. But you can bet if you interrupted my life, I'm going to finish this thing. And I'll be doggone if I'm going to let some crackpot stop me. There's no way. No way. No way. So here we are. Love it or leave it. But anyway, when they blatantly see the truth then, and they know God is in the room, they are standing right in front of the king usually. And so actually that's not the trouble I would want to walk into if I were you. I would not want to challenge the king, because in this day and time, you know, it's funny when all this stuff was going on too at the very beginning, and I saw people challenging the Lord in me, and I thought, oh my God, you know, not that it matters because I'm nobody, but I am his daughter. And I thought, well, I think that what was so hurtful about that is to think to myself, who are you to deem anybody less valuable than anybody else? You know, who do you think you are? And I think that's just the, I have choice words, but they're not godly. So anyway, yeah, I just think to myself, you know, pride goes before a fall. And so about right now, I see God just about to grind people's face in the mud because of the things that they thought that they were going to do. And it's like, well, God had warned you. He's warned all of you. But my goal is to help those who want to come through. Instead of being stopped by the false shepherds, that's what these Pharisees are. They're false shepherds who threw this man out for not following their religious ideologies. But Jesus had placed this man on a mission now, because now this man had seen the proof of a living God, the Son of God, and he had had his eyes opened, and nobody was going to tell him otherwise. He was like, no, 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 this is real. God is here. Oh, no, no. And so his experience, his spiritual experience, had been accompanied by true salvation. And see, this is the problem that we see in our atmospheres right now, because we have 3/4 of the church stuck in this dysfunction because they haven't had true salvation experiences. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, they're probably going puffing up like a big puffer fish. Who do you think you are? That's been my experience in interacting with all of you. You think you know more than the true and living God, and you know he's here. You know he's speaking to you even now. And yet you refuse to acknowledge him. And he's like, okay, you can pretend and act like a little 4-year-old and say, nah, 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 nah. I can't hear you. I can't see. But God says, I'm fixing to show you otherwise. Kind of like your dad did when he popped his belt on your backside. Now do you believe? Kabam! I'm in the room. Yeah, I was in here the whole time too. That's what my dad did to me because he loved me. But the Lord's saying in this hour, beware of the Pharisees who only observe spiritual experiences, but they're short of true salvation because they only weld a form of godliness, but they lack the truth thereof. Meaning, they've witnessed God's power, but they deny it when they're right in front of him and they know it's him. Which brings us to Psalms 113:1 through 114:8. And the Lord's saying, who will worship me and why? Why am I asking you to worship me, says the Lord? What good is worship going to do you in your testing? Let me say it like this. This is just from my heart. When I'm going through a hard thing, and maybe, and this is again is God's way, it's not being my ways, but when I start thanking him, when I'm down having a bad day, and I start saying, you know, God, thank you that I woke up today. Lord, thank you for the difficulty I'm walking through. Thank you that you chose to test me. Thank you that you didn't have faith in me. Thank you that you found me worthy of what you're putting me through. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you that you're so good to me as a dad. And everything, every day that I wake up, you're walking with me. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for being such a good friend. Because what that does, even in my tears, I'm sorry I'm crying, but it does. It brings me to that place where I realize who's king. And I realize the most important thing. And it's not my suffering. It's not my difficulty. It's not the demons on people that are coming at me. The only thing that matters is my focus. And when I get refocused, I know it's going to all be okay. He's leading me through. And I'm going to come out unscathed. And so are you. But this is why God says, this is why you worship me. Because by continually keeping praise on your lips and adoring me and giving me glory, praise helps a heart to keep on going. And the Lord says, but it's an ungrateful or forgetful heart who gets stifled in their walk with me. Because that heart is so short-sighted that it's looking for its next jolt of dopamine. God's not here to entertain us, people. You know, it's so funny. I will go here. I was listening. I listen online to different speakers, and I listen to different influencers, and I love listening to them, but I don't have a lot of time. But I listen to some of them on TikTok, and one of these people, they make, and God bless this person, man, but they make these excuses, but they also come across as a clanging cymbal because they don't understand why things aren't going well for them, but they keep doing the same thing. And I'm thinking, well, I've tried to politely post to counteract it, to try to refocus back on truth, back on the, and although it's not my job, but it is my job to serve God. And so that's the things that it gives me to help this person and other people like them. But yeah, when things aren't going well for you, you have to look at a few things. You have to look inward. You have to ask yourself, what is in me that's making things not go well for me? What is happening around me? Because God's always going to start with you first. He starts at the house of the Lord, right? Judgment starts at the house of the Lord. So I think the church needs to start with themselves. It needs to start at the house of the Lord and clean up the crap in their own backyard. And if we each were to do that, can you imagine what our nation would happen for our nation? We'd get everybody up into maturity. We'd be watchmen, true watchmen, women and men, watchmen on the walls. We'd be operating in true authority. We'd be a powerhouse again. We'd be a powerhouse again. But when you have 3/4 of the church over here sitting here going, which way did he go, George? Which way? Which way? Making excuses. I don't need your brand of Christianity. I don't need what you're selling. I'm not selling you anything. I'm going to let him sell himself to you. Trust me, because when all power walks in the room, you're not going to be able to deny it. He'll bend you over like a reed. That's the power I've operated in through him, and that I've seen true apostles and prophets operating around me. That's the way I like to have church. I want to see the powerhouse of God show up. And you know, the hardest thing I think for these men and women, these true apostles that are operating in the power of God at this level, is that the sufferings we've all been through, and I'm not complaining, I'm not a wussy, but neither are they, but they're tired. We're tired right now at this point in the ballgame. So if you come across our pathways and you're going to jack around and you're going to start being disrespectful to the king, the Lord is saying, I'm going to teach you a few things because Lord's not in the mood for it either. That's what I'm finding. Which brings me to the last part of our conversation today. We're doing pretty good on this Friday, guys. It's Proverbs 15:15-17. But I'm Dr. Missy Hood. I thank you for listening to the 15-Minute Rev today. And I do them on Tuesdays and Fridays. I hope you consider joining me. We'll be back next Friday live, actually. I'll be back on Tuesday with a recording again. But I hope you enjoyed it today. But don't quit. Don't give up the fight. You keep pressing. Keep worshiping your way through. And don't give up on what God's told you to do, man. You're doing fine. You're doing a great job, guys. I know this C2 has been something. But this is what Proverbs 15:15-17 states for you. All the days of the oppressed are wretched, but the cheerful heart has a continual feast. Better a little with the fear of the Lord than great wealth with turmoil. Better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. Bottom line, better to obey the king and do what he says to do and be than to try to scheme and to wake up with a real, real mess and suffering. That's what I say about that. Anyway, I've already been there, done that, not doing it anymore. No way. Anyway, go have yourself a great day. I will look forward to seeing you on next Friday, and we'll continue the conversation then. But I love you guys. I'll see you soon. Bye-bye. Hey guys, Dr. Missy Hood here, and I'm sitting here with Brett J. Starling, Brett. He's one of my good friends from Australia, and we're wanting to invite you guys to join us tomorrow night, 7 p.m. CST, for an interview with Brett. He's a prophet from Australia, and Brett, tell him what you're going to be talking about tomorrow night before we just give him a taste of what we're going to be talking about.
Well, lads, so good afternoon to you guys in the States and morning here in Sydney, Australia. And look, a taste, it aligns with your natural new season called spring. It's about releasing words about springing forward, guys, into a brand new era, and a brand new era for America and a brand new era for your church of coming in and taking possession of what God's given to you and the promises of the nation of you as the body of Christ. And there, and also coming in to having fortunes restored back to you that have been lost or been stolen, but also coming into a new phase of where a changing of the guard is coming in to come and empower you to move into these things, to move forward into the things of the Spirit, and therefore coming into what God has promised you in this time and season. So a new era of springing forward, people. That's what we're going to be speaking about.
Well, a few of the things we're going to be speaking about tomorrow. Now, we're going to throw in some curveballs too. And just, I'm not going to tell you anything else. We just decided we're chatting, getting our audio and video set up and stuff for tomorrow night. And so we want to invite you guys to join us tomorrow night, 7 p.m. CST. We're going to continue the conversation. He's going to be blipping in from Australia. Thank you very, very much for doing this too, by the way. And then we're going to enjoy just conversing. We're going to talk about everything under the sun. We're going to talk about the eclipse. We're going to talk about CERN. We're going to talk about everything. And so anyway, we look forward to seeing you, and we'll see you tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.